in the book of 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter, reading from verse 33. And the Bible said, and the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, Oh, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. In Jeremiah 31, verse 15, the writer says, Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahab weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. In the years of 1838 and 1839, coming out of the states of Georgia, Virginia, North and South Carolina, was a group of people called the Cherokee Indians. They were making their way to the west, going in, finally did end up, the few that were left, in the state of Oklahoma and settled there. So great was the tragedy of their trip, and so great was the heartbreak of the losses of their loved ones, that when you read an American history about that trip, it is tagged simply, The Trail of Tears. So great was the loss. So many loved ones died. So many were put away. So many starved of malnutrition on that great trip, that great event and that journey is known all over the nation as the Trail of Tears. But there is a trail of tears that's longer than the Trail of Tears that the Cherokee Indians left when they came out of the state of Georgia into the state of Oklahoma. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. Sin's long, long, long trail of tears. Did you know all the way from the Garden of Eden unto this present day, sin has left its long, long, long trail of tears. There is not a family here in our midst tonight that can truthfully stand and say, we have never shed any tears because of sin. You see, sin has left its mark upon this entire nation. And even here in the small town of Gilbertown, Alabama, there are those that may be weeping even tonight in the surrounding community because of sin. Out in our country, we have a holiness preacher. He's a good man. But they tell me that his doctrine goes like this. And if that be the case, it's a false doctrine. But he teaches the young people in his church that everyone should sow their wild oats. And when they get tired of sin, he tells them when they're young, go on out in the world, sow your wild oats. Live in sin, do the things that you desire to do. And then when you get tired of sin, come on back to the church and come on back to God. But this is one preacher that's preaching different than that. For every seed that you sow out in sin, you'll have to reap and possibly reap it with tears. For the Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen to me tonight. Amen. Sin leaves its trail of tears behind. You may weep without sinning, but you'll never sin without weeping. Sin brings heartache. It brings sorrow. It brings many tragedies into the lives of individuals. Listen what I preach to you tonight in our text tonight. This young man, Absalom, the son of a great leader by the name of David, he had conspired against his father. David was a great man. He was a great leader. It was David that killed the giant Goliath. It was David who proved to be a great statesman. And he took the two scattered tribes of Judah and of Israel and brought them together. It was David that they ascribed. He has slain his tens of thousands. But in his success as a warrior, as a soldier, and as a leader, and as a king, he lost control of his own son. You heard me? In his success as a leader, he lost control of his own son. We're living in the day, and you might as well help me preach tonight. We're living in the day when we've tied up the dogs and turned the children loose. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me. Amen. This great man David, he lost control of his son Absalom. And Absalom conspired against his own father to take the own throne and the kingdom right out from under his father. It was Absalom that stood in the gate. And as the people came into the gate of the city there, he stole the hearts of the people. But I want you to know that Absalom was trying to put beauty versus power. He was trying to put deceit against the truth. And I want you to know that deceit always loses against the truth. And there came a day as Absalom fled from his enemy, that long hair of his caught in the boughs of an oak, and he hanged himself there, and his mule went on. There come young soldiers by and saw him hanging there, but they were afraid to do anything about it. But here comes that mighty warrior Joab along, and he slays that young man and puts darts through his heart. And in our text tonight, word had got back to King David that his son Absalom had died, and that he was hanging from an oak with darts run through his heart. When King David got the word, he began to weep, and the Bible said that the king was much moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he thought upon this great loss, he began to cry out, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son, my son, would to God I had died for thee. Oh, my son Absalom, my son, my son." But there was no way to exchange places with Absalom. Absalom had done gone on into a sinner's grave, and now all is left, it's just the tears that is left from a life of sin. You listen to me today. No wonder the Bible tells our youth to flee youthful lust. It wars against the soul. Sin will bring tears to your life. It'll bring heartache and sorrow to your soul. If you indulge in sin, you'll find yourself weeping someday because of the sin that you've indulged in. Listen to me. I'm telling you, sin leaves a long, long, long trail of tears. I must tell you the truth tonight. I have wept many times because of sin. And you probably have too. We begin to treat sin as a companion rather than an enemy. But I want you to know, Brother Ronnie Adams, it's still sin that's bringing heartache. It's sin that's wrecking the lives of our youth. It's sin that's wrecking our nation. It's sin that's causing sorrow and heartache, and it's causing men and women to weep tears, bitter, bitter tears, on this long, long, long trail of tears. When we pastored a church in Kansas City, we had an elderly lady saved by the name, maybe I shouldn't call her name, but I will, Sister Decker. And Sister Decker was a precious woman. God saved her in her old age. One day, as I was leaving the church one morning, nearly everyone else is gone, and I thought the church was empty. And I waited as I heard a voice weeping between the pews. I walked over, and it was Sister Decker, and she was down between the pews, crying and weeping. I put my hand on her head, and I said, "Sister Decker, is there something that I can help you with?" She said, "No, Brother Rich." And I said, "Maybe there's something I can help you pray about." And she said, "Well, Brother Rich, I'll tell you what's wrong with me this morning. Said I did not get saved until just a year or two ago. I've had three daughters, and I brought them up in the ways of sin. I taught them to drink and smoke. I taught them to sell their bodies to men. And now I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. But my daughters laugh and mock at my religion, and they'll have nothing to do with God. And said, this morning I'm weeping because my heart is broken over the sins of my children. What I'm trying to tell you today is simply this. You may be saved in the end, but you'll weep some tears and you'll shed some tears if you indulge in a life of sin. You know I'm preaching right to you today. Oh, yes. You can't stop. You can't stop sin. That's true. But you do not have to indulge in sin. We're trying to rescue the perishing in this camp meeting. I want you to know that sin still destroys the lives of young men and women and older men and women as well. It seems anymore if you preach against sin, amen, they dub you as a fanatic. Amen. Many of the modernistic churches never lift their voice against the sins of this age. And many of our compromising preachers will never cry out against sin. But sin is what's causing all of our problems today. It is sin that's destroying us today. My God, what we need to realize that we've got to have something that'll stop the flood tides of sin and restore a moral consciousness back to this people, and let us see the terribleness of sin. Sin leaves a long, long, long trail of tears. Listen to me. Listen to me. Sin is stalking you like a bloodhound on your trail. Once you get involved in sin, you cannot stop whenever you want to. Oh, you heard the brother's testimony tonight. No telling how many tears you've shed because of your sins. We all have shed tears because of the lives of sin that we have lived. And yet we've got these modernistics that say, don't lift your voice against sin. Don't preach against the world. If little Susie wants to wear her pantsuit, amen, and her short breeches, amen, don't say anything about it. I want you to know, just a little later on, when little Susie goes out and gets herself into trouble, Mama, you'll weep because you allowed that sin to come into little Susie's life. You might as well help me. I'm going to preach a little holiness to you tonight. Brother, it's sin that's destroying. Sin is our public enemy, number one. It's sin that's causing hell to be populated tonight. And we need some voices that's crying out against the sins of our age. Oh, how many times have you seen others shed tears because of sin? Some time ago, I was in a hospital with one of our brothers from the church. His wife was to deliver a child that night. We were there waiting on her to deliver. I kept hearing this little baby screaming and crying down in the nursery. I passed by. I saw a small infant writhing and rolling in pain. This went on for about an hour. And I thought, well, it'll soon hush, just a baby crying. But 2 hours went by, and the baby was still crying. 3 hours later, when I passed the nursery, the baby was still crying. One of the girls that I knew, even though she wasn't a Christian, I knew her, and I called her aside. I said, tell me what's wrong with that baby. She said, Brother Rich, I'm not supposed to tell you, but I will tell you. And as tears began to roll down her eyes, she said, that baby's mother is a heroin addict. And that little child is writhing in pain and convulsions. We're trying to withdraw this baby from the effects of dope. And as that woman told me that, tears rolled off her cheeks. My God, just another stopover on sin's long, long, long trail of tears.
years. That scene can be repeated many, many times in America tonight. America is weeping tonight. They're trying to put their conscience to sleep by drinking another bottle of whiskey. Amen. By taking another shot of dope. But the effects of sin is catching up with this nation. And we're weeping because of the seeds of sin that we have sown. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Oh, Brother Fred, there are wages to sin. The wages of sin is death. If I was working for a man, or if you was working for someone, they told you, sir, 2 weeks from now will be payday. We're going to pay you, and the wages for your work will be death. You would be crazy if you did not quit before payday. Come on now. I said, you'd be crazy if you did not quit before payday and walk off and leave your wages. And oh, sinner, if you're here tonight, the wages of your sin is eternal death. Why don't you quit tonight before payday and run to that fountain that's filled with blood, that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and get forgiveness for your sins? Let me hurry with this message. In the 5th chapter of the book of Judges, there was a man by the name of Sisera. He was a captain of the host of Jabin's army. He was a mighty warrior. He had him 900 chariots of iron. There was just one thing wrong with this man. He was fighting for the wrong side. We've got a lot of mighty men, but they're fighting for the wrong side. As Sisera went out to battle, amen, Balak rose up with Deborah, and they went out and they fought against this man Sisera. They discomfited him, took his chariots away, and Sisera fled from the chariots on foot. He ran on foot away from the scene of the action and the battle. He thought he'd find a place of safety. As Jael, the lady, ran out and motioned for him to come into her tent, he thought he'd found a place of safety. He laid down and she covered him with a mantle. And as he asked for a drink, she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink of milk. He laid over thinking he was safe, but he was in the wrong tent. He was in the tent of his enemy. This woman went and found a tent nail and a hammer. And as Sisera slept, she took that nail and put it to his temples and drove that nail all the way through his head. And Sisera died that very day in the tent of Jael. But back at home, the Bible records in Judges 5:28 that back at home, Sisera had a mother who was waiting for him to return. And she looked out the window, and the Bible said that she wept between the lattice. And she said, why is my son so long in coming home? Why does his chariot wheels tarry so long? I'll tell you why. Sisera had died in the tent of his enemy. And mama, he's not coming back. He's fell out there in sin. Some mother's weeping tonight, wondering why her son is so long in his return. He'll not be back. He's went out his last night in the ways of sin and lost his soul out in the hell holes and the dives of this world. Sin leaves its long, long, long trail of tears. Trace it all the way back to the transgression of Adam and Eve. And then ask the holiness preacher, why do you preach against sin? I'll tell you why. It leaves its mark. It leaves its trail of tears. It leaves its scars upon the hearts of boys and girls and men and women. Some time ago, one lady in Norman called me, said, Brother Rich, would you visit my daughter? She's in the Alcoholic and Drug Rehabilitation Center in Norman. Would you please go visit her? I went to visit this young lady. When I arrived there, she was not prepared to talk to me at that time, and they said I'd have to wait about a half hour. As I waited out in the lobby, here comes two young ladies. Their faces are the very, very, very image of sin. Sunken eyes, sad, ashen faces. And they look at me and they said, "Sir, are you a patient here?" I said, "No." And then it dawned on me to give them my testimony. I said, "No, I'm not a patient. But had I not come to Jesus over 20 years ago, I could well be a patient right here in this place." But I said, "The Lord saved me, and I'm out preaching the gospel." One young lady held up her arm, said, "Preacher, look, I've been a dope addict for 12 years, and I'm in here trying to get a cure." Said, "Outside these walls, I've got a little daughter, and I've got a husband out there somewhere that's disowned me." But as she talked to me, she began to weep and said, "Preacher, could you pray just one little prayer for me?" Oh, brother, just another stopover on sin's long, long trail of tears all over this nation tonight. Tears will be shed, and yet men will keep indulging in the sins that bring those tears. Let me hurry with this message. David, you're weeping tonight. You're crying because of the death of your son Absalom. But David, go back a few years, sir, and look at your past life. Remember how that you played treacherously and dealt treacherously with that righteous man's wife, amen, and committed adultery with Bathsheba. You remember that, don't you, David? You remember how you transgressed, and tonight your son is hanging dead with a dart between his heart, but you're weeping tears of the sins that you have committed. Oh, listen to me. If you're in sin tonight, you better quit while you can. You better run to this altar while you can. You better quit the sin business before sin overtakes you with this trail of tears. Some time ago, as I was just getting dressed for bed, my telephone rang. It was my son-in-law. He said, "Brother Rich, my little brother has had a bad wreck. I don't know how bad he's hurt. Said, could you meet us at the hospital?" This young man had been raised in the Holiness Church, but he had rebelled against the preaching of the gospel. And when the old-fashioned preacher preached to his mom and daddy that they should take him down to the barber shop and get some of that hair cut off, his mom and daddy raised up against the preacher. Come on now and say amen. When the old-fashioned preacher would preach against the evils of television, as I begin to lay it out just like it is, his mama and daddy, amen, would keep on living the way they wanted to live. They would come on the church and let this boy go the ways of sin. That night, as I beat the entire family to the hospital, I went in and I saw a young man with a hole in his head. Unconscious. Oh, yes. You could see the blood coming from his skull and his brain working with every time that his heart would beat feebly. As I knelt over close to this young man, I could smell alcohol on his breath. I thought, oh my God, this young man's going to die. Lost, lost, lost. I tried to talk to him, but no response. The doctors examined him and said the case is too severe for us. We'll have to transfer him to Oklahoma City. About that time, his father and his mother arrived on the scene, and his dad came in and looked at his baby boy lying there right at the very brink of death in a lost condition. The father fell down on his knees unashamedly there in the presence of the doctors and nurses, and he wept and cried, "Oh God, that's my baby. Oh, God spare my baby. When he finally raised to his feet, he left a puddle of tears. But oh, let me tell you something. All the tears of remorse cannot buy back those things that's been forfeited out in a life of sin and destruction. We called the church, and the entire church went before God in prayer. They moved this young man to the hospital in Oklahoma City. For 17 days, he laid there, not knowing whether he was alive or dead. The doctors came in and said, "Preacher, maybe this young man is used to your voice. See if you can arouse him. See if you can wake him. It gives you a strange feeling when you say, 'Hey, Tim! Tim, wake up! Tim, it's Brother Rich. Can you hear me?' No response. Cold as death. Oh, brother, I want you to know that sin leaves its mark. I call the entire church on a fast. We begin to fast and pray. One day this boy finally woke up. He finally woke up. But I'd like to tell you that's been a couple years. And you can see him now. Talk to him now. Part of his mind is gone. He's not rational at times. Amen. His mother and dad is still weeping. And no doubt they'll cry. Amen. And cry some more. Because sin has left its mark. I'm telling you, brother, that sin is a deadly, destructive thing. And if you indulge in it, you will shed some tears. And truthfully say that you've never shed any tears because of sin in your family or in your loved ones. I'm afraid not. Brother Cody Harmon, I don't know very much about your family, but I know a little bit of what you told me about your dad and his sinful condition. No doubt it's brought tears to your eyes many times. Sin leaves a long, long, long trail of tears. Please stay with me just a few more moments. I'm trying to tell you, brother, that sin dooms and damns a soul into an eternal hell. Now every time Jesus spoke about hell in the New Testament, referring to that place of punishment, every time he spoke of hell, he said it is a place of weeping. A place of weeping. In hell, tears will be shed for all eternity because of sin that men and women have been involved in. I'm telling you tonight, sin will finally catch up with you. You may run from it for a while. You may enjoy it for a while. But sooner or later, you'll find yourself weeping because of sin. Oh, the devil would like to blind our eyes and our minds to the effects of sin. He'd like for us to just pat it on the back. And he'd like for every preacher to quit preaching against sin. But how can we quit preaching when we see what it's doing to our nation? How can we quit preaching when we see the nation that's plagued by the sins of this old world? I want you to know that right at this very moment, somebody is crying. Somebody is weeping. Somebody is shedding tears because of sin. Too many churches have quit preaching against it. Too many preachers have quit fighting against it. One preacher told me, he said, "Well, Brother Rich said, I just got tired of fighting it. And I just quit preaching against it. I'm tired too." But when you work on a job, even if you get tired, you don't quit till quitting time. And I'm tired of fighting sin too. But I'm not going to quit till I hear the trumpet sounds. I'm going to preach against sin and tell men and women that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me hurry and close this message. A few years ago, we lived in Grover City, California. A new house was built across the street, and a prominent family moved into that new home. I went over
talked to the family a little bit and got acquainted. A few nights later, we went over and I invited that family to church. The man was sitting on the couch drinking a can of beer. I invited him to church and he started crying. He said, "Brother Rich, you wouldn't believe it, but I used to be a Sunday school superintendent and a deacon in a holiness church. I got busy making money and traveling under construction work. And said, now I've lost out with the Lord." About that time his wife came through. Her hair dyed in purple color. Had on a pair of breeches. Looked like a bullfighter out of old Mexico. Amen. Walked through there. Amen. Earrings a jingling from her ears. And he pointed toward her and started weeping. And he said, "There's my wife." Said she used to be one of the best Sunday school teachers in the church. But now she's busy with her cocktail parties and the things of this world. And he sat there on the couch and wept. And I told him, I said, "Sir, Jesus will forgive. Why don't you come on back to the Lord?" But they did not have time to come to church. About that time, their 16-year-old son by the name of Leland, the same age as my boy. Where's my boy at tonight? Come on up here, son, and help me a little bit. The same age as my son, 16 years old. He came out of his bedroom and they introduced me to their son. They said, "This is Leland." And I started talking to Leland. I said, "Leland, how about going to church with him?" He said, "Sure, I'll go to church with you Sunday." And he did. And Sunday night he went again. Sunday night he gave his heart to the Lord. Oh, I was so happy. He went back home and begged his mom and daddy. Said, "Go to church with me." But they didn't have time for church. They didn't have time for the things of God. Leland was a gifted guitarist. He could play that guitar, brother, like nobody I've ever seen. And he'd come and he was such a blessing in the church. Every day he'd see me and say, "Brother Rich, pray for mom and daddy." Said they're getting farther and farther away. Instead of getting closer, they're going farther. And said, "They're laughing at me now for going to church." Oh, Leland served God for about 3 months. Did real good. But with no encouragement at home, he began to drop out of the house of God. We tried to encourage him to come on. But his mother and daddy was pushing him in another direction toward the world. Finally, he completely quit church and started playing that guitar in a rock and roll, teenage rock and roll band, playing in the Peppermint Twist there in Pismo Beach, California. As he played that guitar there, word got back to me and said, "Remember the boy that used to go to your church?" I said, "Yes." Said, "Did you know that he's drinking?" And said, "The other night we was there," sinner boy's telling me this, said, "The other night we was there," and said, "he was so drunk that he couldn't perform." And my heart began to break, for I knew that he was going far, far out into sin. He rolled in one day in a new Pontiac, said, "Brother Rich, come and see my new car." And I went over and I told him, I said, "Leland, there's more to life than just new cars and big times out in the world. There is a soul that you must give account of." But he kept going. His mother met me one day all smiles, said, "Brother Rich, have you heard about our son Leland?" I said, "No, what's happened?" Said, "Leland has taken a screen test and he's going to be a movie star. He's already got a minor part in a movie, and if the public takes to him, he'll have a major part and become a movie star." And she seemed so thrilled. But Leland never did get to make that movie. One night as he filled his body full of alcohol and dope, he came home at the age of 16, almost 17 years old, walked into the bedroom under the influence of that dope, took a .30-06 rifle off of his bedroom wall, put it to his head, and left over half of his head on his bedroom wall. The next day I saw his father up on the streets as they was going to try to make funeral arrangements. He saw me almost a block away and he started crying, "Oh, Brother Rich! Oh, Brother Rich, pray, pray, pray!" the sidewalk, grabbed me by the neck and took me clear to the sidewalk. And there he left a puddle of tears. And he said, please pray for Leland, pray for Leland. I said, Mr. Sandy, it's too late to pray for Leland now. He's already gone. And now all that's left is just the bitter, bitter, bitter tears of sin. Another stopover on sin's long, long, long trail of tears. That funeral, the mother had to be inoculated and completely. All of her use of her limbs, all of her senses had to be numbed, and they carried her out. The father got down in front of the coffin of his son and beat his head on the hardwood floor until men came and restrained him. He kept trying to take his son out of the coffin and said, oh God, let Leland come back to life and take me instead. Oh God, I'll gladly get in the coffin. I'll gladly die if you'll just bring my boy back. But oh, there's no exchange. There's no way to trade places. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Sin will catch up with you after a while. The last report we had, the mother had completely lost all mental abilities and had to be admitted. The father has totally disappeared, and no one knows where he's at. I say, if that father's still living, if you could find him tonight, he's still weeping. He's still crying because he's played on the trail of sin's bitter tears. Oh, young person tonight, if you think you can play with the sins of this world and escape the judgments of God, you are being deceived by the very deceptor of your souls. You're being deceived by the one that's trying to destroy your life tonight. Oh, will you stop? Tonight, will there be a place in your life where you'll weep because of the sins you've committed? It would be better to come to this altar while we get a song and shed your tears of remorse now than to wait and weep the hot, salty, bitter tears of sins that have been unrepented of. You say, Brother Rich, what's my only hope? There's only one remedy for sin. There's only one way to stop the sin business. And that's to come to Jesus Christ. To come to Him and repent of your life of sin. Oh, the devil hates this kind of preaching. I know he hates it. He'll try to throw up every opposition that he can because he knows the value of your soul. He'll do everything he can to try to destroy your soul in hell. But oh, tonight you can come to Jesus Christ and find redemption for your soul. While every head is bowed, would there be one in this congregation that would just lift your hand and say, preacher, I realize tonight, that's right, son, just come on. You'd say, preacher, I realize tonight that I'm on the wrong road. I'm traveling sin's trail of tears. Sin will catch up with me eventually. Would there be a hand be lifted while I wait just a moment here for you? Oh, backslider. Oh, sinner friend tonight. Sin is stalking your trail. You cannot get away from sin. It'll catch up with you after a while. Yes, sir. Amen, young man, young lady. Sin will be on you. Maybe before morning, sin will come to you. And you'll find yourself weeping as you reap its bitter wages. Will there be another hand lifted anywhere? Anywhere in this congregation tonight? Oh, I feel like God has dealt. I feel like God has touched some heart. But the enemy of your soul is trying to destroy. Would you come? Would you come and seek God tonight? Would you come and pray tonight? Could I see that hand quickly while I wait just a moment longer? You'd say, preacher, I realize that sin leaves its bitter tears. I want to turn from my sins tonight. Would you raise that hand quickly? Anywhere while we wait just a moment. I'm waiting on you. Don't let the devil deceive you tonight. Don't let him tell you that you can get away with your sins. There has never been a man or woman that has sinned without their sins overtaking them. There be a hand lifted anywhere. Say, preacher, I know I need Jesus. Backslider, are you going to go on and lose your soul in a devil's burning hell? For the worm dieth not, and where the fire is not quenched, will you go on your way? Please raise that hand and say, preacher, I know I need to pray tonight. Would you raise that hand quickly? Yes, I see that hand, sir. I see that hand. Why don't you just get up out of your seat, young man? Come right on right now. That's the way. That's the way. There's others here that God is talking to tonight. There's souls here that God's dealing with. Saints, you're not helping me much tonight. The devil has tried to scatter our minds. You know, I know that. I'm aware of all of these things. Amen. I've faced the devil before. I'm not a novice at this. I've faced the devil before. But oh, sir, your soul is at stake. And here in this camp meeting tonight, be your time to come and turn from your sins. You raise your hand and say, preacher, I need Jesus tonight. Yes, I see that hand in the back. Would there be another hand lifted anywhere? Say, Brother Rich, I know I need Jesus tonight. Would you just get up and come on right now? Saints, pray with me for just a moment. I know the enemy has tried to scatter the service. I realize that. I've preached against the opposing forces of hell all through the sermon. But that don't stop this preacher. Brother, I've got the message. I've got the lifeline. I've got the life preserver. And I'm throwing it out to you that's drowning in sin tonight. Come on. Jesus will save. Come on. He'll forgive. He'll redeem tonight if you'll come to Him while the congregation stands. Oh, sinner, won't you come while they sing a verse of song? Make your way to this altar. How about it today? How about your soul? Young lady, why don't you come on in and seek the Lord? Come on, right now. That's right. That's right. Oh, sin leaves its mark on the souls of men and women, boys and girls. I'd like for some couple of the young ladies to join this lady here. Some of the young men to join these young men here.
Is he coming again? With brothers turn against brothers.
Oh, cancer is bad. Heart trouble is severe. And our public enemy number one is sin tonight. God's not through yet. There are others here tonight that needs to seek God. Just a moment, please. I don't feel like God's through here yet. The devil likes for us to just pass it off. But I've preached the truth to you tonight. In spite of the devil, in spite of the forces of hell, I've told you that the wages of sin is death. Now there's others out there in this congregation that's reveling in sin. Mark my word, sin will overtake you, and maybe sooner than you think, find yourself weeping out in the places on sin's bitter trail of tears. Would there be another one? You just step out. Say, preacher, I'm the one that God's talking to tonight. I'm the one that needs to come. How about it over in this section? How about it, anyone over here, you'd lift your hand. Say, preacher, I need Jesus tonight. Would you do that? Son, come on. That's the way. That's what it's all about. Stay with me just a little longer. Devil, I rebuke you, you lying devil. I come against your forces. We're going to pull some souls out of the fires of hell tonight through the precious blood that flowed on Calvary's cross. Over in this section right here tonight, Would there be one? You just lift your hand. Say, Brother Rich, I know I need to come and pray. There'll be one. You'd raise your hand quickly. Right now. Lift that hand while I'm waiting. Here in this section right here. I'm looking for your hand tonight. Oh, backslider, God's looking for your hand. Oh, sinner, God's looking for you. Would there be one? You'd raise your hand and say, Preacher, I do not want to be caught on sin's long, long, long trail of tears. I want to come and pray tonight. Would there be a hand lifted right here in this section? Quickly, raise that hand, sinner. Raise that hand, backslider. It might mean the difference between heaven and hell. Would you lift that hand quickly while I'm waiting? How about in this section, in this area here? Could I see a hand of a lost man or woman? Say, Brother Rich, I need Jesus tonight. How about it, sir? How about it, young man? How about it, young lady? Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come and seek God tonight? This section right here. Is there someone right here that I'm looking at right now? It's lost and undone. You'd raise your hand and say, Brother Rich, I know I need Jesus. Quickly, quickly lift that hand. Are we waiting? Just a few more moments. How about right here in this center section? Somebody that's lost. Somebody that's undone. Oh, my God. What will you tell the Lord if you refuse Him tonight? Would you come right now? Say, Brother Rich, I'm lost. I'm unprepared. But I know that I need to come and seek the Lord. Would you come quickly? Come on, sir. Come on tonight. Come on and seek my Jesus tonight. We're moving on. Anyone in this intersection before we leave, then lift your hand and say, Preacher, I know I need Jesus. Would you raise that hand quickly? Anywhere. All right, in this section right here, surely somebody would raise your hand and say, Brother Rich, I know I need the Lord. How about it tonight? How about it tonight? Over in this area, here, surely somebody feels their need of prayer tonight. Feels their need of seeking God. Could I see your hand? Oh, I feel such an urgency. I not only feel the power of the Holy Ghost, I feel the very forces of hell itself trying to destroy, trying to take our minds away from the reality that hell is real, that the fire is hot, that our souls will be there forever. But it's so true. Hell is your next stop if you fail to repent of your sins. Brother Fred, would you help me just a moment? I feel like just walking around this congregation. I know it's not popular.